I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Secret Cabinet.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of The Secret Cabinet. This episode is about a woman from Der Budla's temporary hometown of Halle, who seems to have fallen in obscurity over there though. Katharina Margareta Link. Orphan, button colorer and dyer, and finally crossdresser, prophet, soldier, husband, and finally court victim. The unusual woman was born 1687 in a small place near the Kyffhäuser Mountains, and the exact location is unknown. Her mother, Magdalena, married a textile weaver, but after the sudden death of her husband, she went into a steep social decline and had no choice but to roam through the countryside. And as a merchant in the baggage train of an army, she became pregnant by a soldier, and on the 15th of May, 1687, gave birth to a little girl, which on the following day she had christened Katharina Margareta. In the next couple of years, we lose the trail of the mother and daughter until 1696. Records suddenly appear by Glaucha near Halle. Glaucha was once a thriving administrative town until the 30 Years' War and several plague epidemics depopulated that little city and slowly let it decay. Towards the end of the 17th century, several schnapps distilleries were discovered there, meaning from Halle, one could go for a nice stiff drink to Glauchen. And to this day, they still don't speak very kindly of the Glauchen nobility. When one refers to downtrodden Halleers, and not even the church itself was exempt from the sin of Glaucha, when 1691 even a priest was arrested because he had demanded sexual favors during confession. And so the next priest, Hermann Reinhold Franke, wanted a clean slate. He founded on his grounds a home for the poor and adopted orphans, which he put up in a house that he had purchased himself. Franke, who's marked by his Hallian piety, emphasized tough love and schooling, and in the following years expanded the house until it was a proper school. And to this day, that collection of buildings still stands and is on its way to becoming a national landmark. In any case, in this orphanage, mother and daughter Link were able to find room and board, and the mother even found work as a dishwasher. And the wandering years finally came to an end, apparently. Katharina received education in the orphanage, which for the times was very unusual for the poorer segments of the population. And until she was 14 years old, she lived in the rooms of the orphanage, until she found an apprenticeship with a button maker in Halle. But she didn't stay there very long, because when she was only 15 years old, in 1702 or 1703, she left Halle to move to the 55 kilometers further north, city of Kalbe. And the first thing she did when she got there was buy men's clothes. Later, she said she did that to remain chaste, basically afraid of being raped, and apparently many women of the time had done this. But also, of course, the prospects of living like a man might have been the real reason that she chose to leave her home and move out into the big wide world. And among strangers, she might have the chance to live out her dream of living life like a man. And apparently she also had a rather robust body type, which allowed her to pass as a man. She joined a radically pietist sect where she traveled with them through the lands, and in Nuremberg, for instance, where at the call of a certain Jehovah Almeo, she changed her name to Anastasios Lagrantios Rosestem, Rosenstengel. And the name seems to have been carefully selected because Anastasios in Greek means the reborn, in her sense, surely in the form of a man, whereas the surname Rosestem probably has a sexual connotation. Rose and stem, that's obviously a double entendre. And of course, the calling card of these extremely pietist sects were warnings that the end is nigh. Repent now, turn around before it's too late. And with that, they used extremely energetic sermons and even prophecies that in an ecstatic trance they received. Even Link, or now Rosenstengel, had those sorts of visions. But after claiming many times that a merchant could walk on water, and they then had to save this person from drowning, and the villagers of the town inevitably chased the cult out with stones and dung, she herself started to doubt her prophecies just a bit. She separated from the group and sulked back to her mother in Halle, where she had to live as a woman again. And whatever she must have done in the next coming years seems to have not have worked, because 1705 she left Halle again. This time, she decided to try and be a soldier. Maybe that sounds stranger than it was at the time, because at the lower levels of society, becoming a soldier meant steady meals and opportunity for advancement, if one was a man. But Anastasios Lakantios Boyalein, little farmer, as her or she now called himself, had already gathered experience in that department, as she could pass as such. Her breast she simply hid under a tightly bound breastplate, and hair under her wide hood. She had to wash herself secretly. But in this epoch, honestly, that wasn't that big of a problem. There wasn't a whole lot of washing going on. And she found out a way how to relieve herself standing up by using a horn that she had crafted just for the purpose. And so she joined a musketeer company of Hanover. And for 2 years, Link learned the soldier's life from all sides, including experience with women, because she didn't just use a horn to urinate, she also had a, quote, made from leather, stuffed male member, from which she had hung 2 leather testiculi, end quote. And with this contraption, she even tested it out on some of the prostitutes. And to test its authenticity, she even says that they had played with it and touched it and still not noticed that it wasn't real. Now, if that's really a fact, or if she just wanted to protect the involved women, which is a possibility that we won't really ever know. And apparently, finally, it was being a soldier that gave her the satisfaction in life. She was doing okay for herself financially, was moving up in the world, and even having sex with women. But in 1708 came a mighty battle in the spring, and it was rumored that in the upcoming battle, Link's company was going to be used as cannon fodder. And so, together with 2 comrades, she deserted. But they didn't get very far, and near Antwerp were caught again and brought back to their company, where now they were in danger of the severest punishments. Anastasios was laid in chains and sentenced to hang by death by the military court. And right before the scaffolds, she decided right then and there to expose all and reveal everything to the executioners and judges present. And giving this new turn of events, the executioner decided that the charges didn't quite fit the crime and that they had to now figure out what to actually do because her crimes were now different, and they put her back into chains and carried her off again. And because of a weekly report, the Prussian King Frederick I even heard about this. But in Berlin, when this report was read, it was taken as a pretty humorous event. Because according to the report, it said that she had left Halle, become a man, and joined the soldiers, because that was easier than praying for 5 or 6 hours a day. But the head of the orphanage in Halle probably didn't appreciate this report quite as much, but still came to Katharina's defense. And since Link was now counted as a woman and not a soldier, she didn't really defect from anything. In 1708, his wish was granted and she was let go. But of course, she did not want to go back to Halle. And as soon as she was released, she changed her name to either Kaspos or Augustus and joined the Prussian army. However, this time, Father Franke did not appreciate this and put all his influence into effect and did not give up until Katharina returned home from Prussia. But she didn't stay very long, and again she kind of went crazy, and this time left for Wittenberg. And this time joined the Royal Polish troops as a musketeer, under the name Peter Wannich. And as those troops were broken up near Brussels, she fled the battlefield, only to join up with a Hessian company. Here, her name was Cornelius Hupsch, probably because Cornelius comes from the Latin cornu, the horn. And the German word for pretty is only two dots away from her new chosen last name, Hupsch. And for one season, that went pretty well in Hessen, but she got into a brutal fight. And when that was broken up and she was arrested, that can lead to a death sentence. But at least that would have meant discovery, because people in a fight had to go through the streets without a shirt while the other soldiers beat them through the streets. She fled once again, and this time, apparently it had enough of being a soldier. Back in Halle, and again back as Katharina, she found a job as a towel maker. And in the following years, only on trips, when she left the city, did she put on her men's clothes again. But 1716, that almost meant her end, because she fell in the hands of soldier recruiters who wanted to press her into the military as a man. And only as, again, the Pastor Franke came to her rescue, who simply had Link searched, only then did the recruiters let her go as a woman. However, this time it happened a little too close to home, and the people of Halle started to talk about it, and Katharina's double life in Halle seemed over. And staying in Halle would have meant staying a woman. And so 1717, she fled a final time never to return. She went to Halberstadt, and here, as again Anastasius Rosenstengel, she found work as a cloth dyer, and met Ekaterina Mühlhahn, and fell in love with her, and even married her. Her reasons are not quite clear, but it could be that as a married husband, all doubts were once and for all removed. But that was easier said than done, because suddenly a rumor spread that Rosenstengel was already married and has a wife and children in Halle. This rumor might have started because of a letter from her mother, who addressed it to Anastasius, so obviously she was in on the secret of Katharina's double life. But then, of course, there was also the mother-in-law now, Katharina Mühlhahn, born Eisfelder, who right from the beginning had doubts that Rosenstengel was actually a man. As it first came to difficulties over money, and finally a marital fight, the mother-in-law tried to separate the two. And because of the scandal around that the stepmother raised, the couple both decided to flee. But after a year, they had to return broke to Halberstadt, where, unfortunately, already the mother-in-law was waiting. So Anastasius left Katharina behind in order to find gainful unemployment on her own, and found work in Hildesheim. The catch was that Link, in order to work at the monastery, had to become Catholic. But Anastasius agreed, and tried to get her wife sent to her. But back in Halberstadt, the mother-in-law didn't think much of the idea to let her daughter move to this deadbeat, if Anastasius is even a man at all. And I guess this slowly got to Link, because she wanted to show her mother-in-law once and for all. And slightly tipsy, he brought out his horn and peed on Miss Eisfelder's shoes. And either deeply impressed by this demonstration, or maybe just speechless, she decided to let the two leave. But in the new digs in Hildesheim, it also didn't seem to work out quite right, so that the two moved on to Münster, where these two pious Protestants were both put up in a Jesuits monastery. But to stay there, the Jesuits finally pressured them to be baptized Catholic. And once this had been done, I guess the missionary zeal of the order had been satisfied, because then they asked the two to maybe, after all, do move on and find somewhere else to live. And while Katharina Mühlhahn moved back to her mother in Ingolstadt, Anastasius tried her luck somewhere else, in Mühldesheim, and here he found work at a Lutheran pastor, where, first of all, he had to be baptized Lutheran, and guaranteed steady employ and chance of advancement. And since everything seemed to be working out so well, she returned to Halberstadt to, hopefully for the last time, bring her wife to a better future. But then there was still the mother-in-law, who again refused to let her daughter go, and finally demanded proof for Link's masculinity. And this time, she had reinforcements. They overpowered Link and tied her to a chair, cut her pants open, and found the pea horn and the leather dildo that she had tied around. And after further beatings, she gave up the evidence, and after a hearing in front of the Halberstadt City Council, even the wife, Katharina Mühlhahn,
was arrested as an accomplice. But her defense was that she's a very simple woman who doesn't understand much of the masculine anatomy and had married with the full belief that she had married a man. If she really didn't know, when you consider the long, intimate married life, she did claim to have never seen her husband naked. And only after a year's marriage did she even, quote, discover this leather worst and had never had sex with him again. Or it could have been a well-thought-out defense strategy. Katharina Link herself confessed to all her misdeeds, which she regretted and, quote, deserved death 10 times over. For sentencing, the Halberstädter sent them to Duisburg because it wasn't unanimous whether she deserved the death penalty. And finally, the case landed in front of the Prussian king, Frederick I, who had, you know, by this point already heard of the story of the soldieress. And the usual legal assembly around Frederick I was even kind of confused whether the usual sentence for sodomy should even be applied here, if women can even handle sodomically. And the rationale behind the law was that it was the waste of sperm, or the sperm flow, that was punishable. And since women can't do this, the normal, usual precedents for cases like this didn't really apply. So obviously sodomy is not something you can get them with, since they're both women. So Link was just condemned to basically be an indentured servant the rest of her life and work in prison. But Frederick I, who's known for his hard-handed sentencing, even by the lowest slight, the fate of Hans Hermann von Katte, the friend of his son and later King Frederick II. He didn't like the proposed punishment of his counselors and instead chose execution through beheading by the sword. Katharina Mühlhahn received 3 years imprisonment. Katharina Margarete Link, or Anastasius Lacratius Rosenstengel, or Peter Wannich, or Cornelius Hupsch, was, on the morning of the 7th or 8th November, 1721, was led to the gallows on the Halberstädter fish market, and there the executioner removed with a sword her head from her shoulders. And she was also denied a Christian burial and tombstone. And instead, her body was given to the executioner on the scaffold hill, who disposed of it, and the preacher who had married the Catherines, who says, quote, "This godless person was a wench in the end, whose sins screamed from heaven, and who is a sodomist, that even the heathens would be ashamed of her. Her sins don't need to upset us, though." But he wrote she was put to justice and discovered and put to death. But in his excitement, he got the date wrong. But whether in Halbert nor Halle does much remind of this story of a very strong woman who really just wanted to live in her own way, even at the cost of great trouble. She was the last woman on European grounds that was executed for mischief with other women, and she may still have been forgotten if not the historian Angela Steidle hadn't followed the tracks and put it all together in a remarkable book. And if you speak German, there's a great lecture called In Männerkleiden, Das Leben Katharina Margarita Link, Anastasius Lacratius Rosenstengel, Hingerichtet 1721, Köln, Weimar, Wien, 2004. And in Germany today, women having a relationship like this together, or even living together in marriage, is luckily a pretty normal event, or a normalizing event. One should recognize that even this was a hard-fought-for human right, and to this day, in many countries of the world, still punishable by death. Thanks for listening. Stay on the level. Till next time. This show is created by Dale Budla, translated by Travis Dow, and The Secret Cabinet is a member of the Agora Podcast Network. The podcast of the month, this month, is this one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.